changing hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Oh, to God's unchanging hand. When your journey is completed, unchanging hand. Oh, to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Oh, to God's unchanging hand. Amen. You all may be seated. Can I give you just a 1 minute testimony here about the day? Started out about 5 a.m. this morning, got to work, and we're having all kinds of problems. And we had 42 companies, plants coming to our plant this morning to visit the owner of the company and the president, managers, and all kinds of stuff. And things went on, we got things running, and we'd have problems. At 2 o'clock, they said they would arrive, and I just stopped, prayed, Lord. I said, I just need a couple hours of all is well, no problems. And invited him in. That's what we need to do this evening in the service. Amen.
Amen.
And I invited him in, and all things went well, and people just stood and watched. But he was on the scene. You could feel in the spirit. It just, it's amazing how they lay hands on machines. I just believe, you know. And I think that's where we fall short sometimes, is really believing. Amen. But a lot of people, they call me preach out there. I said, can't do that. But anyway, I just believe in him.
Amen.
Say amen. Let's go to key F a minute. Jesus, keep me near the cross. Amen. It's 205 if you need it. Jesus, keep me near the cross.
Today with
just beyond the river.
Let's go to F. F. Amen.
They that wait upon the Lord shall renew.
Worthy, isn't he?
Holy, holy, holy.
amen and amen and amen, as I was trying to bring out Sunday, you know, no matter how much Moses had seen of God and met him in many forms and ways, he still wanted to see him. You know, that should be all of our desires, right? Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn to Revelations 1, and we'll go to Matthew 16. Remember now, the fellowship meeting will be this Saturday at Brother Lungora's in Alabama. We'll be leaving Wade's house about 10:30. So if you want to go along with us, let us know. We'll try to make arrangements and all to carry enough vehicles and all to do. And remember now, Wade will be preaching the services Sunday, and I hope you're enjoying the points he's bringing out. I really am myself, because it gives me a time to sit down and just listen and to be able to do. Amen. How is Brother Luis?
He's fine. He's preaching.
He's preaching?
He's preaching.
Okay, 3-0. All right, then. So everything's going good. You know. So we believe in God taking care of things. Amen. But just remember that. Any other announcements, I generally forget. But remember that. Remember the fellowship meeting there. And if you want to go along with us, let us know. All right. Revelation 1, Matthew 16. Heavenly Father, we thank you because we know for a certainty that thou art God and you change not. Then we can depend on you and we can just relax and not have to worry about anything. Let everything be right according to what you, Lord, want to be with each one of us. So have your way. Come among us tonight in a mighty way and open the understanding of our hearts that we may see you. Our eyes of understanding is what we desire to be opened. Lord, just have your way. Bless those that are not here. Remember the sick. Father, thank you for being with Brother Luis there, taking care of him, bring everything completed and bring him back home, Lord. And we pray that you would just have your way with all of us tonight. We love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelations 1. We'll begin about verse 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna and unto Pergamos and unto Thyatira and unto Sardis and unto Philadelphia and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. All right? Trying to get some thoughts in mind to be able to follow on there into that scripture of going on and understanding, you know, and trying to look at it throughout the Word and see the lineup. Okay, go to Matthew 16. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the Word. Now, as I've said, trying to get an understanding in the book of Revelations, then we will pick up the sevenfold glory and be able to go on from that part. But the main thing that I'm trying to get you and I both to see is that God reveals himself in many, many forms. You know, he would appear here, he would appear there, he would show himself here, show himself there, and all, but it's the same God. All right? Then you can take the seven compound names of Jehovah, you can follow that all the way through, and see, as the prophet said, that all of those pertain to Jesus Christ. All right? Then looking at one true and living God and seeing that, you know, and then when he asked here, who do man say I, the Son of Man, am? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. All right, now, as we've emphasized many times before, he asked him who was the Son of Man. Well, Peter evidently didn't catch that, or he would have tried maybe to have answered accordingly. But he answered according to what you read the rest of the verse. It says that the Father hath revealed these things unto thee, and upon this I'll build my church. All right? Then the church is built on the revelation of the Christ, the Son of the living God. All right? Now, you may not think of it as I do on what that means, but remember the prophet said, if you don't see Christ in every verse, go back and read it again. All right? So then you go through and you follow Christ throughout the Bible, so you can't follow Jesus through the Bible. You can't see him physically, form, etc., in every verse, but you can see the Christ. All right? And seeing that Christ, then, to me, then, the greatest thing it is the church is built upon the revelation of who Jesus Christ is. All right? He comes to John on Patmos, and the very first thing is what? The revelation that God gave to Jesus to give to John to show the church. What? Of who he is. And then to show his future, the taking place, and seeing the future, and it would come out to see to understand then the Son of Man. Because none of your writers wrote of the Son of Man, Paul, and the greatest of all he was. He never spoke of the Son of Man. Peter and them, yeah, because they wrote, because Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you say they wrote about the Son of Man, right. But they never made any more, commentaries or anything later in relation to it. And it looked like Paul would have picked that up. But yet he was concerned with the building of the church. He was not concerned with a rapture. He says himself, get it out of your mind that God is coming now. That's what we used to think. We used to think that Paul was trying to get people to see, that the Lord was coming the next day. And Brother Brown said he was trying to get it out of their mind. It's because it'd have to be a falling away first. It'd have to be these things. And Paul knew that, so there was no need of Paul dealing with the end time revelation other than the prophecies that he made, the statements of change in a moment, twinkle of an eye, etc. Those things, he would make those, but he would not deal with how that would come to pass. All right? And God, knowing that he was going to send us a prophet to bring those things into being. All right. Now, then we don't have to worry about what the symbols are. And now, this is going to be valuable later to talk about the sevenfold glory. So this is what I'm trying to get you to see, that even though you see someone standing there, it can still be in symbolics. Because, as we tried to emphasize last Wednesday night, that, that was not the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, the human element, the fleshly speaking, standing in Revelations 1. But it was the body in being the body of Christ, the church. All right? Now, in being the body of Christ, which is the church, see, you're still dealing with symbolics. You're still dealing with symbols of things or something in relation. You're not seeing it in total purity, or how you would say the word for it. Because to me, if you saw it like you needed to see it, you would see Jesus. Now, if you don't like this statement, then just cast it away. But to me, anything that will not bring Jesus Christ to the glorification that he's supposed to be brought, I don't care if it's bragging about the people. I don't care if it's talking about the people. But if it does not bring Christ into the open and showing him and showing who he is, because who is the church?
Come on. Right. Amen.
The church is Christ made manifest.
Right. Right.
Well, then that's all I've ever tried to bring, is to try to get us to see, you know, that Christ, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight, is Christ the Son.
Amen.
And we'll get back into the reason of using it in a minute as we go through. But now, we ended up, and I went back and listened to the message because I like to do that, and I know that I listened to that, and I thought, man, have I got slow. I reckon 74 makes you slow. But I'd rather be slow than fast. And I'd rather repeat myself. If that is, you know, part of old age signs. Paul had it, and I don't know how old he was, because for me, he said for me to say the same thing is needful for you. All right? Then, but I was very, very slow, but very, very, I noticed it trying to make it, and I do. I'm trying to make it very to the point, to where it, you know what I'm saying. All right. Now, whether you believe it or not, that's between you and God, and I can't reveal it anyway. But I want to make it to where that it's clear enough to where that you can say, well, this is what he believes. All right? Now, because that's always been my goal. But forgive me for being that way and you know, and just being myself. All right? But we were talking about Wednesday, of how that we got to the point that we were talking about that no man has seen God.
Right.
All right? And see, then by doing that, and we've read it from 1 John 4 and 12, that no man has seen God at any time. Then we went to 1 Timothy 6, 16, that whom no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see. Now, that's two scriptures we used. Moses, remember when he said, I like to see it. He said, you can't see my face. You say, well, later he seen the face. Well, I remember, and I did in that, I emphasized that you're not just talking about that kind of a look. To me, Moses wanted to see him. And he says, it's not time, it's not the right place, but said, you'll never see me the way you want to see me. That's hard to try to emphasize to people, but how else can you say it and stay with the scriptures that no man has seen God at any time? All right, you can say, well, he saw the back part there and he saw the front part later. You're getting into what you think is good revelations, and the people get all tantalized with those things and say, this, look at what this is, look at what that is, but it doesn't answer any questions. All right? To tantalize you with a piece of ice running up down your back won't answer questions. Right? I like for questions to be answered. That way, then, I like what the prophet said when he says, questions makes a strong church. You say, well, we can go over here to this Baptist church, and boy, they got 10,000 questions about all of the scriptures. Now, that's not exactly what he's meaning to me. All right? You may think that. I think he's meaning questions that are answered. You listening? Questions that are answered makes a strong church. It don't, because we can go into the Bible and see where the questions gender strife. So don't just think that it's questions. No, it's questions that have been answered. I had a lot of questions before I heard of this prophet. Didn't you? I still have a lot of questions after I heard about him and heard the message. All right. But they are gradually going away to give us understanding. All right. But we got down into John 1 and 18 where it says, no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son, I emphasize that in the message, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. All right? So now, we're dealing with the Son. And see, when you're talking about trying to understand to a Trinitarian, a Son happened 2,000 years ago. All right? That's the relation of a Son that they talk about. But we don't talk like that. Brother Branham took it all the way back, as we will in a little bit. He took it all the way back before the foundation of the world and speaks of the Son of God. And he says, now, we don't believe in eternal sonship. So then there's something wrong with our understanding that we need to maybe think about a lot. All right. But are you with me now? See, Jesus said, God is a spirit, John 4:24 or 5:24, or what it is there. All right? But yet the scriptures would say nobody can see God. Well, Lot, there's something about this part of saying that God is a spirit. All right? And we'll get down into that in a minute. So just hold your point of that. And I want to rephrase what I brought out Wednesday, because I thought that was a good way for the prophet to give the definition, and, you know, and we could have the understanding. So if you will, brothers, pull up number one, and, you know, for me to repeat, then I'm getting old, so just mark it off. He's just old fuddy-duddy. But think about what he's saying, and I ask you to listen to the message, questions and answers on Genesis. And I won't ask for a raise of hands. It might embarrass you. But I hope you did. You know, and besides reading constantly of it and almost printing out half the book, we still sit down and we listen to the message, you know, to try to hear the things, because I wanted you to hear it and I wanted to hear it too. All right? But now look what he said. Now, no man has seen the Father at any time. No man can see God in the bodily form. Now you're going to have to define things as you come down, or you're going to be in very limbo state. All right. No man can see God in the bodily form, because God is not in body form. God is a spirit. All right. No man has seen the Father, but the only begotten of the Father hath declared him. All right, and John. Now, what do you think about when you see that or read the scripture or think about it, that God is a spirit? What are your thoughts? The prophet took it back before the foundation of the world, before there was any atoms, molecules, etc., etc., etc. But he said that God existed. Now, he explained that the word God is an object of worship. All right. So then, you know, he wasn't God until he created angels and they worshiped, and that made him God. But that didn't make him God like making him God. That made him manifest as God, because he would have been God to begin with. Or else you've missed it. You'd say, no, God is an object of worship. Well, then, before he ever made anything, that was one of his attributes. Okay? Remember that in the prophet's message? That's one of his attributes. Is to be God, was to be Father, was to be Son, was to be human, was to be this. That was already in him. So then he already had those attributes. He was just not displaying. The angels worshiped him. That was a display. And that brought him into being. All right, but now watch. Now, we take the part of God being a spirit. And it's very easily to be like that there's no form. There's no, you know, nothing. It's just spirit. All right? Well, now, I hope tonight we can deal with that a little bit by way of the prophet, to take a lot of that out of your mind as to thinking about just a floating around. I will read in a minute where the prophet said it. He said if he's just like the wind, then you do not have to pray for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It would be in you. That's the amoya out in, right? So you see where I'm going. But see, we get our mind locked in and our thoughts are on God as a spirit. But watch what he goes on to say. Now notice there's nothing there, just space. There's no light. There's no dark. There's nothing. It just seems nothing. But in there is a great supernatural being. Okay? Jehovah God. Who covered all space and all places at all times. He was from everlasting to everlasting. He's the beginning of the creation. Now watch it when we get over into it far enough that Brother Brown says God was his first creation. See, then he's the beginning of the creation of God. All right? That's God. Can't see nothing, can't hear nothing. Not a move of an atom in the air. Not nothing. No air, no nothing. But yet God was there. That was God. Now let's watch for a few minutes and no man has seen God. That's the Father. See, all right? Are you listening? We want to make him as a spirit as to be no form, no doings. But yet he says here that he's a being.
Right.
Now, I've always been, and I'm sorry to be blunt, but at least you understand me. You mean we are beings? You mean we have a form? You mean we are tangibles? Can be felt, you know, etc. But yet God is just a spirit. That would make us more real than he is. Right? I don't go that way. I'm sorry. Because I believe that if I'm going to believe in a God as a creator to bring into being, I'm going to believe that he's real. Now, if I ask you a question without laying down the case I have before you, and I would ask you the question, and I would say, Brother Collie, do you believe the devil's real? And you'd say, yes. Now, as I said, if I hadn't laid into your mind something that you know that I'm pulling you into a point of thinking, then you would really say the devil is real. Maybe not in the real points of this, you know, materialistic, you know, the 16 elements or the metals or anything. But I get plumb tickled at people's thinking that there is no God. And we think about, well, who created all of this? You know, and I know I'm just plain carnal, but that's the way I think. If the devil is God, he's real. Because he created where we are. So that would make him greater than what we are, even the devil himself. I know my mind's all slipped and gone, and it's all right. Nursing home's waiting on me. Terrence is getting plans. Send me and all of that. That's all right. I've got to get away from that, then. Just a fun point. To drive a nail down. Even if I believed in Buddha, Hindu, Muslim, Allah's, any of the other names for your gods that people claim to be, I would still believe they were real. Or why would I believe in them? I believe there has to be some form of supernatural being that brought us into existence, don't you? All right, then if that supernatural being brought us into existence, then he's greater than we are because he brought us. We didn't bring him. He brought into existence the things that we speak of that are tangibles. You know, solids. All right? So then, you know, I just laugh at people when they say there is no God or something like that. Because I say, well, they're caught in that trap. But now listen. God is not like the wind. That was where we ended up kind of, you know, being. But let me get these two in the middle here to where that we, before we get to that point. Go ahead with number two, because I like this one. I like these two places, because in case anybody won't say, well, I believe in everything after the seal, so we'll give you one after the seal, one before the seal. So, you know, we just do that. But look what he says on questions and answers on Hebrews, the real 2:57-10:02. Now the body, and I don't want to dwell on this very much. I'm trying to get down, okay? The body. God is a spirit. How many understand that? Say amen. God is a spirit. Jesus is a man. And Jesus was God made flesh. Jesus was. We could never see God, see? He's a spirit. You can't see spirit. No man has seen God at any time. No man couldn't see God. All right, are you reading what he's saying? Then let me say this. You've never seen me. You've never seen me in all your life. And you never will see me. You know what? He's explaining God, talking about himself. See? You'll never see me. That's right. You see, this body that declares this person that's in here. Now, this body doesn't have eternal life, but the spirit has eternal life. This body will go back, but it'll come forth again in its likeness, like a grain of wheat. All right? Look at the next one, which is Shalom 64, when he says, but really, frankly, we have never seen each other. Did you know that? We have never seen one another. You hear something speaking out of a body here that impersonates whatever is on the inside. I love that. You know the reason I love that? I'm sure I had read those things and it was dwelling in my mind. But you know what? 90% of the people, preachers, and forgive me for numbers, most preachers preach to bodies. Hair, dress, clothes, shoes. Yeah. You know. Right? But you know, the Lord showed me something back many, many years ago. I've made this statement. When I say it, most of you will remember it real well. I said, I'm not speaking to your body. I'm talking to the one inside of there. Brother Branham was not trying to contact bodily forms of people. You automatically do that. That's a human element. But he was trying to get down on the inside of that inside to where that inside could make up its mind what it wants to be. And I thought when I read these, I thought, I really love those. That's because that's the way I've always been. What good does it do to beat a body? You know, that's what people will say. Oh, we went to church, and the preacher, he just preached a whole sermon on me, and I just feel so good. Well, why didn't you repent and get straightened up where the preacher could have preached something? Oh. Yeah. He just beat my toes to pieces. Well, clean up your toes. You want to go back the next service and let him beat on you again. And you go home feeling good. You repent, you cry, you ask the Lord to forgive you, and you go home feeling, Lord, I just feel so good. He just told me like it was tonight. Well, you don't need to be told like it was again. I mean, one time's good enough. May I quote the prophet? He said, what is it about a woman? You can't get her to put her on a pair of pants. And she's got the Holy Ghost. And he said, you don't have to tell the bride, but one time. Am I quoting it? Maybe paraphrasing it a little, but am I right? That what he said? But you see, church, then maybe we'll get down to thinking about what sometimes people are doing when we get so upset at them. He's talking about me. Well, you know what, honey? If you ain't guilty, I can't talk about you. But if you are guilty, is it me that's doing the talking, or is there something inside of here trying to talk to the something that's inside of you? There ain't no like this. Okay, I'll get off of it in a minute. You hear something speaking out of a body here that impersonates whatever's on the inside. See, then when we talk to each other, we're really not talking to the body. It's the spirit inside. But the body is the thing that identifies the spirit that's on the inside. And therefore, when we speak to each other, we are quickly can understand right away whether we're Christians or not. Because there's a fellowship in the spirit that we talk from. Is that true? Do you love to talk to people that are not in the Word more than you do people that are in the Word? Then you're out of the Word. I'll continue. Quickly you understand right away whether you're a Christian or not because there's a fellowship in the Spirit that we talk from. You see that it vibrates to one another that whether we are Christians or not, therefore we have never seen each other. Jesus, no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten of the Father has declared him. In other words, God was identified. The person of God was identified in the body. The Lord Jesus Christ. So he was the express image of God. Or God expressing himself through an image. All right? See, through an image. Man. God expressed himself to us and he was God. Not a third person or second person, but he was the person. God, he was God himself identifying himself so that we could see him. All right, he goes straight to 1 Timothy 3:16 without controversy. That's argument. Great is the mystery of godliness, for God was manifested, or made known in the flesh. See, the Son declares him, brings him out into the open. Isn't that wonderful? God, we could never understand God as he moved through a pillar of fire and so forth, as he did. But we understood him when he became one of us, see, when he became one of us. We could touch him, we could handle him, we could do. You know, the Bible says you handle God. All right? But not, you didn't handle God because God is the Spirit, but what did you handle? You handled the form that he changed himself into to live in that form. Now we'll get more on that next Wednesday of some things on God. But I just wanted to get those things. See, you've never seen God at any time. Why? Because he's Spirit God. But does that mean he's not a person? Just when you say he's a spirit, does that mean he's not a person? The prophet, we just read that, he said, he's not the first, second one, he's not the first person. He's the person. I love that statement, the person. All right? Now, what about God? How real is your God? I'm not talking about condescending. We are not down. We will get to that, the Lord willing, further on about the God, the baby, the man, the things. But we're back before the foundation of the world by way of the prophet message, talking about this great eternal one who covered all space, time, and eternity, and how that he is real. Is your God real? That's a simple question. See, I ask most people, if you ask, and I'm not throwing no stones, but you ask people that are not trained in the message part of what we've heard, you go over here and you ask them, and you say, well, the Bible says God is a spirit. I said, what do you think about that? Well, he's just a spirit. It was just back there when there wasn't nothing, and he was nothing but just a spirit. Well, that would make us greater than him. And we can't do it. All right? Look what your prophet had to say. Go to number 4, brothers, which is questions and answers on Genesis. And you heard him make this statement. And then he asked the question, now let us, who? Father and son. And Brother Branham wasn't a Trinitarian, right? But he had no problem saying Father and Son could say, let us. Right? Now, theologians got trouble there. Her theological mind had, because there's two people involved. Father, Son. All right? But see, we know that the Son is the Father made manifest in another form. So we don't have problems. Well, what about this communicating? Well, I remember one day when a man was standing on the River Jordan, and here came a dove down, and here came a voice, and that looks like three people. But we can't go that away and remain in the truth of one true and living God. See, then we just look at the acts of a play, right? But now watch the point now. Listen very carefully for a few moments. Let us, who, Father and Son, make man in our own image. Now, if a man was made something like that little sacred light yonder, on the way on back, right? Or something like it could not be seen, which is a spiritual being. He manifested or unfolded himself down a little more to make a trinity of himself by Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Right? But how many gods do you have? Even if you're going back to the old thought of God as a spirit, you would still hold it at least to one. You wouldn't have a whole bunch. So what are you thinking? Well, Brother Branham, he has no problem using the word Trinity or triune. He has no problem. Because he's talking of what? Like a trinity of himself, a Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And here was God unfolded himself now down into let us make man, which was his Son, and offspring from him, man in our own image. He was a supernatural being. Amen. So now remember your scriptures as we go along. Let us make man in our own image. So whatever image this is the same image. He was a spiritual being, and we are spiritual beings, or were created that in the beginning, right? He was a spirit, and we are spirit. There's no problem. But he was a being, and we're a being. I'm talking about Adam, the beginning. All right? Let him have dominion over the cattle of the field and so forth. And the mad naiad. Not in natural flesh. That was later, right?
Right. That's right.
Yep. Later he was Genesis 2 and 7. Right. Brother Branham, what are these this doing? He said Genesis 1. Questions and answers. You heard it if you listened to the tape.
Right.
He said, God is a spirit. And said the man was made as a spiritual being. Because God's image was spiritual being.
Amen.
Now, all right. Hold your thought. Then if God is a spirit that's non-conformity to anything and has no form whatsoever, has nothing that he is but just like the wind blowing about, then he created a man just exactly like that. Or language has messed up somewhere. Because language says, let us make man in our own image. So whatever he was, this man that he made was just like him. You follow me? So that ought to get a lot of that out of your idea about this the spirit part. Then in Genesis 2 and 7, he made a natural man. And he put the Genesis 1, 26 and 27 into 2, 7 and brought him on earth to do. But yet he was already controlling the animals and leading and doing in that spiritual being that he was. Okay. So think about it. Let's read this one. Number 5. I love it. That we just read. No man can see God in the bodily form because God is not in body form. God is a spirit. But now he doesn't say that person does not have a form. That's our problem. He's talking about a bodily form. What do you think of in bodily form? I think of 16 elements, don't you? I think of this whole stuff. God's not in a bodily form. But now when he created man in his own image, what image was God before he created the man? Well, I don't know. I wasn't back there. And I don't figure I need to know. Well, whoopee, I'm glad you're so super religious. Because these things are very valuable to me. Because the only way you'll ever see who you are is to see who God is first. Sister came to me there last Wednesday and said, nobody else might not have caught it, but said, I seen for one time myself in the Bible.
Hallelujah.
I said, praise the Lord.
Amen.
That's all I'm trying to do,
Amen.
To get you to see yourself in the Bible. And when you do, you can see the Christ and who he is. And you can see Moses and who that was, and David and who that was, and Paul and who that was, and Brother Branham and who he was. And you see yourself in the Bible. But you say, but Brother Dale, it's just a spiritual what? Okay, let's go a little further then. Look at the next one, which is number 6. It wasn't so from the beginning. E10. Now God is omnipotent, omnipresent, by being omniscient. makes him omnipresent. Right. Now, you'll really catch on what he means in a minute by that statement. We just take it from there. He being omniscient makes him omnipresent. And he knows all things. But God could not be just like the air is, because God has a dwelling place. God is not a myth. God is a being. God, Jesus, He, God, pronoun. He is a being, therefore He's omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent, and infinite. Yep. Right. He's not like the air floating around. He's a being. All right, look at the next one. Fellowship, 1960, E19. Raise it on up toward. And I said, God is a being. Now watch, he's talking to somebody else. Now God's just not like you're like the air. If he would, you would never have to seek the Holy Ghost. It would be in you. Because he'd fill all space and things. God's omnipresent, sure, by being omniscient. He's omnipresent in the fact that he's omniscient. He knows where he needs to be, right? Knowing all things, but God has a dwelling place because he's a being. Exactly right. And God dwells with fellowship under the shed blood of his Son. And that alone, amen. Not upon our denominations and things. Because you know what our denomination has got him? Oh, he's just a floating around. He's just a spirit. He has no form. He has no, What about it? What are you thinking about? I didn't give them this one. This is taken from the message of God's provided way, preached in 1953. And God put man first in his own image, which was in an image of God. And God is a supernatural being. He was a supernatural man. And then he put him in five senses, see? Adam created. He was a supernatural man, and then he was put in five senses. None of those senses declare anything, but what is he? He's a supernatural being. All right, going with, who is this Melchizedek, number 8, paragraph 48 and 49, preached in 1965, 220-221. Now, if he isn't infinite, he isn't God. God has to be infinite. We're finite. He's infinite. And he was omnipresent, omniscient, and omnipotent. If he isn't, then he can't be God. Knows all things, all places, because of his omnipresent. Omniscient makes him omnipresent. He is a being. He's not like the wind. Well, Brother Dale, them others was written a 50, 60, and he changed after the seals, bro. Well, that's 65, I think, is after, I believe, who is this, Melchizedek? It's 65. He's a being. He dwells in a house. But being omniscient, knowing all things, makes him an omnipresent because he knows everything that's going on. Now, do you believe that? Can you put your life and your stakes upon that to believe it? That he's omniscient, which means he knows all things, and that makes him omnipresent. And he's not omnipresent in the words we use, omnipresent. Because our words of omnipresent, if you remember true, would just make him like the wind, just being anywhere and everywhere. He's not that way. As I've always said, if there's nobody on the moon right now, he don't have to be on the moon. But when anybody goes up there, he always goes with them. Yeah. Why? Because he knows all things. But he's not like the wind. He's a person. The person. Far greater than you and I. Well, if you think you're something, then you ought to know that I'm trying to tell you God is greater than the something you think you are. But what do you think about God is a spirit? He's a spiritual being. He made man in his image. Did he make man just a spirit or a spiritual being? Was the first man just a spirit form? We talk about the angels being spirits, etc., but you know they do have forms. Now, if we are in his image, and listen, hey, I know the message a little bit, okay? I got a little bit of understanding. That the first man was made in the image of God, the spirit man. Second man was made in the image of animal. Right? You know, hand like a chimpanzee, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, when we get over on that other side, and all of this is gone, are we going to see a glob sitting somewhere and realize it's the Father? Well, you don't have no form. Or is it just that we can just feel the wind blowing through the heavens? And we think, well, that's him. Well, I think the prophet done a good job of defining that if he's just everywhere, then you wouldn't have to pray for the Holy Ghost. He'd be inside you because he'd be everywhere. Well, you know where that'd make him? If he's in you, he'd be in Adolf Hitler. He'd be in Judas Iscariot. He'd be in the meanest person you could think of in your life. Right? Now, I hope we don't believe that. At least to get away from that. We might make him a round bouncing ball as a glob, but we certainly don't want this to put it to where that it would just be in everything. And see, that would make the devil then to be in that form too, because he'd be a spirit. Do you understand what I'm getting at? I believe God is real. I believe that he's not just like the wind. He's a being. He's a supernatural being. But that supernatural being can be anywhere in the world he desires to be right now. But being as he is, as a being, he limits himself, forgive me for the words, he limits himself to the point of being in one place. Yep. You know, or many places if he desires to be. And that's why I like the scripture where it says, you know, that and talks about how that the prophet expressing it, that see, Jesus could only be in one place. But now he's got a many-membered body that can be around the world. So then the more or many there, you know, more and things in the scriptures doesn't go wrong. It's true. Huh? But what do you think about God? My desire has always been one thing. And that's to learn more about him. I've always had that desire. I had it when I was in the Baptist church. I wanted somebody to tell me about him. But what they would tell me didn't fit what I had an understanding of. So one day I had to walk out of there and move on. Because I knew that the people I was talking to didn't have the same thing in them that I had in me, even in the point that I wasn't even claiming to be born again at that time. See, because even a person who's not born again has got a little common sense. You might not be able to know God in the correct way, but at least you can know there's a God. You know. I mean, you can know there's something real about all of this. Instead of thinking like an idiot that we was a polywog, flipped over on one side and growed an arm and a leg, and flipped over the other way and growed another night while we stood up and began to walk. Well, where did the polywog come from? Right? But then we'll come into the religious realm of mankind. And in our religious realm of mankind, we read the Word of God, and not having, say, the inside teacher, that we will try to put our own thoughts upon that Scriptures and come out with some concept or thought. And that's where your Trinities come from, your hell being eternals, your all kind of things that comes out of people and their minds thinking without it being the Holy Ghost to teach. I want the inside teacher, don't you? And see, that with that inside teacher, then I wouldn't have to worry about anything. All right? But do you understand what I'm getting at? I'm not talking about... Now listen, we have to use phrases and words and things. I'm not talking about where that God begins to condescend down to where we can understand him or help us to. I'm talking about what was he before the world? Before anything. Before any concept, thoughts, or ideas. I think Jesus would have a pretty good understanding of the Scriptures written you when he said, you know, that God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in what? Spirit and in lies that's told by everybody. Not exactly what it says, right? Spirit and in truth. I was thinking about it today and I still didn't bring it. I forgot it. Do you realize that nobody can see God unless they see him in you? Because remember, God is a spirit. Amen. But if they can see what's come in your life and seen it affect you and seen you live in that realm of, you know, to them is a place that they say we can never attain unto where you are. You know, we value you, we honor you, we do, but we can't live like that because we are in this realm here. For you sisters, as the prophet would say, now for you to go down the road walking with your hair dragging the ground, as what's the lady that's the singer? Crystal Gayle. Is she an image of a Christian? When her hair, I remember seeing it one time, it was like a couple of feet, you know, on the ground. Well, is that the image of a Christian? When you turn her around and her face is painted and makeup all over it and her clothes are ungodly and... No. But what about you sisters just going about your daily duty, and you're going to Walmart, you're going to where you work or whatever you do, and you just dress correctly, and you have your hair fixed, and all of the things. And, you know, you're a witness to them about Christianity. Why? Because you've got the rest of the makeup right. You know. Was it not the prophet's words like this? He said, "Live me a sermon instead of preaching me one." You see somebody that can preach like a lark, but live like the devil. I get that one irks me. I'm sorry, I'm human. I ain't blaming that on 74. It irked me when I was 25. It irks me to see the people of this message that had rather hear a man that's been married 49 times, and he's a jailbird, and he can sing, and he can do all the things, and they'd rather hear him than someone who has lived a decent life and at least tried to be right and honest and stay with the Word. Now, you know what I'm saying is true. You just don't want to admit it. Right? You don't want to admit it, but it's true. That don't change the point. But I never knew that all of this great understanding of the message was to do away with the fruits of the Spirit. I thought it was to bring it into manifestation. I thought the fruits of the Spirit was, instead of just saying faith, virtue, knowledge, I thought you could say love, joy, peace, goodness. I thought that was the fruits of the Spirit. And I thought that was what God wants to see in each and every one of us. Right?
Amen.
And see, then, if people can see Christ in you, they want to be like that. But I've always told you, and I know it hurts feelings, so get ready. Rub it good. Some of the people of this message, I wouldn't want to be their children. Some of the preachers in this message, I wouldn't want to be their children. If I die and go to hell, I'd like to stay at least sensible enough to try to live a decent life before my kids, that they could actually be able to, in a little way, see Christ. Because I've always believed that whatever God was back there, He still is.
That's right.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Right? But He's not like the wind. He's a being.
Amen.
He dwells in a house. I thought that we understood that Jesus was up there right now building us a house called a future home. But I didn't think He was up there doing it. I thought He was down here in you and I,
amen,
sending up boards, as we say,
right,
for whatever the mansion is. Well, what would our mansion look like?
Right?
But what about God? See, God had to move from that position that He was in. And remember, the position I'm talking about is not just like the wind floating around. He was in another dimensional form, or whatever you want to call it, place, house, living, dwelling, moon, stars, bar, whatever you want to call it. God lived before any of this ever come into being. And you know that He had thoughts about redemption, etc., etc. I won't get to it tonight, but next Wednesday we'll get to it to find out when them thoughts started coming into display. He had those thoughts as Spirit God. But when he condescended down into another form, Brother Brown said he stands there and in his mind, he's thinking about how to do this. That's not the Spirit God before the foundation of the world. That's the Logos, the one to create. See? These are not new things. Let me just give you just a little bit where I lay a foundation for the next message. What about a prophet that could talk like this? Seventh grade education man, but yet he could speak of these things. Pull up number 9, preparation, priest in 53, 11, 11, paragraph 23. Let's take a little mental trip tonight, you and I, and let's go back before there was a star in the heaven, for there was, even wasn't anything. How about a man could go back? I love that statement where he talks about God, and he said, in the beginning, before the eternal. We can't talk about eternity. He's talking about in the beginning before eternity. And then we want to try to make God as just some spirit form. Oh. Well, there was a star and everything. Sitting way back in eternity, that was God. And then going out of God, or God unfolding himself, what? Comes the Logos, which was the Son of God, or the Word of God. Right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Logos. We'll get to it later. I got it laying on the desk. May have it here. I doubt it. But have you ever noticed in the message, the unveiling of God, Brother Brown said, in the beginning was Elohim. Elohim was with God, and Elohim was God. He had no problem talking that way. He had no problem speaking of a Son of God. But he never did talk about God the Son. You know. All right? And watch, we're seeing God unfold himself. Then he said in Genesis, let us make man in our own image. What kind of a man was he? He had to be a spirit man. And they put him in the senses to contact earthly home. He gave him a foot like a bear and a hand like a monkey. But he was a spirit man, because God was spirit. But he said he begins to unfold. Now, what was the scripture that we said to remember? No man has seen God at any time. 1 John 1:18. No man has seen God at any time. But the only begotten Son. That's the scripture we read. Now, come on. The only begotten Son hath declared him. Or, as the prophet would say, brought him out into the open. The Son of God, which was the Word of God. All right, go on to the next. Try to cut off in just a minute. The message called life. Let's close our eyes to our imagination for a few moments and go way back into the, before there was anything. The great fountain of all eternity. Couldn't you just hear a theologian trying to explain that? You realize what this man was doing? A theologian sat there and he said, where did he get that? He got that the way Moses got that and wrote that. All right? How did Moses get all about Genesis and what happened in the garden and wrote the first five books? Amen. Wrote of his own death before he died. Right. Now come on, get to read your Bible. Huh? Way back? No. What? Fountain of eternity was that spirit of love, joy, that spirit of honesty, that spirit of trueness. What was back before the world? All of that. In this perfection. Then out of the existence of the Father went the Logos, which was the Son, which was the Theophany, which was the body of the great Jehovah God, went forth in a celestial body. That's the Logos. The Word spoke out of them great fountains of life and went forth, and there was the Theophany, which was God made in Word. We'll go back over this next Wednesday. But what I want you to get is just a little point, and then we'll quit. Mind can only comprehend what the seat can endure. All right. Let me get the license. Trying to find, there it is. Look what he says on questions and answers on Genesis. You should have heard him say this. Paragraph 21, which would be number 13, brother. Back up, because you're on 14. I want to be on 13 first, because you're on it. Hebrews. Run it up now where we can see it. He talking about the leading the Holy Spirit. He was, in other words, Adam was the first man in the lower creation of God. Now, theologian, get ready for your teeth to fall in the floor, because how are you going to comprehend what this man with a sixth or seventh grade education is fixing to say? The first creation was God himself. You know what the Bible tells you where God come from? Do you know that? He come from Teman. And look up Teman, you'll find out it means right hand. So you go right back around to your circle, and it all connects. But look, the first creation was God himself. Then out of God came the Logos, which was the Son of God. Then out of the Logos, which was the Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among. Out of the Logos came forth the man, bringing it down to Genesis. I thought that we understood that Revelations 3:14 begins talking about the message to this age, and it says the beginning of the creation of God. We want to lay that all up on Jesus, and that's wonderful, because we'll do that. We have to bring it forth, because he's coming into being where he says, a body thou hast prepared me. But where did the Son come into being? The prophet can talk about it in simple terminologies. But the Son was the first form of God that moved out to where we could comprehend. Our God condescended in the form to be the Word. God being the Son. But we don't believe in eternal sonship, so just get that part out of the way. But we believe in eternal Godship. Do you need that quote? That's what your prophet said. Don't believe in eternal sonship, he said, but I believe in eternal Godship. I believe that a son of God can be eternal. I hope I'm looking at a bunch of them that have eternal life. And you know what? We never will be nothing but sons and daughters of God. So we better kind of get used to that point. Right? But God being the first creation. In other words, simple terminologies. Now what's he saying? God just simply moving from the existence of where he was over into another existence. Is that the way? We'll get back to it next week. The word that the prophet was explaining. He says, not a part of God going off like a limb or an arm or something. He said, but a part just going out. And that's the Son of God. But Brother Dale, I only know the Son of God 2,000 years ago. That's how far we are missing it. Even Scofield, in his footnotes, comprehends the point of talking about Son of God as the word, the theophany. Why? Because I believed, the Bible says, that all things were created by Him and without Him, which is the Son, right?
Hallelujah.
Nothing wouldn't create it outside of Him. Father didn't create a thing but a body for the Son to step into. And He had to come 4,000 years ahead of time to be the Son of God before He could speak the Word into existence to bring a body. I know that to most people, see, it's like I said, a theologian, his mind goes haywire. How could God have a beginning? He's not talking about a beginning like we talk about it. He's not talking about a creation like we talk about it. He's talking about a coming into existence to where you can see it. Right? There was a day my wife and I could not see our children. But according to genetic makeup, they were there present in me. True? What do you think about it? What about your God? But Brother Dale, you read a statement a while ago that where Brother Branham said is not in a bodily form. I agree wholeheartedly. Not in a 16-element form. But let's read this last one and we'll quit. Which is taken from the Message, Questions and Answers on Hebrews, Part 2, 57, 1002, paragraph 385, would be number 14. All right. God went out, Logos. So Jesus had a beginning. God had no beginning, see. But the Son was not eternal sonship, but the Son that was with the Father in the beginning was the Logos that went out of God. It was the theophany of God that went out. Well, theophanies and spirits were just floating around. The human form that didn't have eyes like you see, oh, that'd be a good one to stop, wouldn't it? A better eye. It didn't have ears like you hear, but a far more hearing. See, it was a theophany that all this rainbow conjures into, theophany. Moses saw it when it passed through the rock like that. He saw the back part, said it looked like a man. I thought Brother Branham, when he went beyond the curtain of time, could feel those people that he said was in theophany. I thought he could feel them. Huh? But you see, we want to make everything so supernaturally spiritual until we just put ourselves totally out of the way. And, you know, but I've been at this 40 years, so I ain't worried about it. We got 40 more, be fine. Probably some of us won't be here, but that's fine with me. What's my point? My point is that when I saw what this prophet started talking about, I laid down all of my thinking about what I used to think about. God is a spirit, and He's just up there. There He goes. No, He ain't going out, and He's over here. Now, don't tell me we didn't think about them things. Don't tell me you didn't have questions back then. But you see, the God I serve is real. So let's come on, brothers. He was real before he ever got here where we're at. And all we're doing is just showing the reality of a living God and what he really is. To speak of him as being tangible. Yeah, but Brother Dale, you just try to make God too tangible. Well, now, if he could create this wood, it's pretty hard. He's got to be greater than that. But we just don't see him like that. But he condescended so you and I could understand. Let's stand. Christ, the Son of the living God. We'll try to bring it more Wednesday to get back on it. But see, when he says Christ, the Son of the living God, and when he says Jesus Christ created all things, we know the flesh of Jesus never created. It was the Christ. The Christ created all things. Then Peter had a great revelation that the church is built upon. The church is not built upon concepts or ideas of imaginations of spiritual beings or this doing this and this going on. You know, we don't know nothing about it. The Bible is full of the truth of God. Men saw God, but they never saw God. They saw the form he used for the day. Right? He would appear in a form to mankind. But yet Melchizedek spoke of him in Hebrews 7, and it calls him Almighty God. Right? But you know what it called him there too? Verse 4, I believe. It called him a man. And you know, Abraham fed a calf to a man. He didn't feed a calf to a spirit that floating around or something. He fed it to a man. That man was Almighty God. Go ahead, brother. What we got?
596 in Sparkle.
Think on these things.
At night I lay
in bed and I begin to cry. Anybody have a need?
And my mind just fails to know exactly why. I can explain.
Maybe the reason we don't see God is because we don't believe God is real.
Deep within, it must be God.
If I was only expecting to see a spirit, I would be out trying to figure out which way the wind is blowing.
I feel the pull.
Just remember, if God is like people think, then you don't have to pray for the Holy Ghost. It's in you because it's the wind.
I know his spirit's moving.
But he's not like the wind.
To give my all.
He's real.
He speaks to me. And I agree. Lord, please come and take control. I feel the pull. I went to hear the word, and
let's
with each line
say that, well, we're sending them for that purpose.
He
Father,
was drawing
you make it manifest
me
in
me.
Jesus' name. Anybody else?
Explain the tongue of pin, a mirror is moving deep within. It must be God here in my soul,
for I feel the pull. We run out of prayer clothes, so
I feel the pull.
If the brothers will, if you'll come up.
I hear
let's pray over this, and then we'll leave it here on the pulpit. And
I know his spirit's moving me.
And we'll believe that whatever is needed, it'll take care of it.
To me.
You believe? Let's lay our hands up and believe it. Lord Jesus, we know these prayer clothes are in your word. And that's what we do, is we send them out in your name. Lord, we just cut these up and we, Lord, we believe that they're taken from the body, because it's not just a piece of material that way, but yet it's a cloth, and we just lay our hands on it and believe it, and you'll take care of everything. You'll make it manifest what everybody's asking for. And we, as brothers in Christ and sisters, are praying also, Lord, believing that when this goes out, that it'll, these prayer cloths, they will accomplish what is asked for, because we believe you. We lay our hands out believing it. By your stripes, the people are healed. Salvation, deliverance, whatever is needed, is here in your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Do you believe it?
His Spirit's moving me.
Leave that there in your word, Sunday.
He speaks to me, and I agree.
I won't wait to wear this Sunday before we cut it up.
Lord, take control. I feel the pull.
Do you? I feel the pull, don't you? I feel God is wanting you and I to move closer. Get away from all of the things and our ideas and thoughts. We're getting older. We're wearing out. That's all right. And he said last night, said, we're getting old, ain't we? Well, I'm not worried about it. I don't care how much longer we got or how much shorter we got. That has nothing to do with it. It's resting in him and believing it. Right? Doctor tell you you got this, that, or the other. Okay, hey, doc, that's what you're getting paid for. But God is my healer.
Hey, that's right. Lord.
He's the one who takes care of me. So I ain't going to be worried about it. You go to the doctors, if you'd sit down and listen for about 4 hours, I'd like to explain healing and doctors. I may do that one day, because that's been on my mind for quite a while. You mean God? Now, we know there's quacks, but there's quack preachers, so don't worry about that part. You know. But real doctors are trying to help you. They do the best they can. Well, you know, when your head's hurting, a good old aspirin that was made by somebody is real good to take away that pain. You don't have to keep on hurting. The prophet said that little nitroglycerin pill, he said it's nothing but just for that little valve in there that kind of opens it up and makes it work. He said, God knew we would need that, and he gave it to us. Yeah, but you put too much confidence in God. Hey, if you went with me sometimes and the way I talked to doctors, you probably wouldn't want to doctor me. Because I don't mind telling them, Doc, I'll do what you're saying, but God is the healer. Right? He's the one who takes care of things. So you do the best you can do. You know, you help me. And, you know, but we're going to sit up front and say God is the healer. Well, ain't nothing wrong with taking medicine. But ain't nothing wrong with not taking it. That's where you got to meet the middle of the road. For your own self. Be what you think. All right. Father, we just commit to service to you tonight, Lord, in your loving grace. We ask you to be with each and every one of us and guide us on the way home. Take care of everybody. Give us a safe journey. Be with each and every one. Be with all of the sick, Lord, that's among us. Remember Brother Gary there, Lord. I forgot to tell the people tonight, so I'll just tell them while I'm talking to you about it, that he said that he's going to try his best to come this coming Sunday. that he would just want to make sure that he didn't come in on some sicknesses and things. So then if somebody is sick among us really bad, just stay away from Brother Gary and just walk away from him and be off somewhere else. And all, Lord, and just help us all to be that way and not to be so stubborn in our own selves that we have to do everything. We love you and we thank you. We commit everything into your hands in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. You're dismissed.
As I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me, leads me safely through the sinking sand. It is